This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
News story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean silly? I mean that's real news.
Do you remember that story we did last week where Tim Hardaway Jr. and his dad, Tim Hardaway, said, I'm not allowing my jersey, number 10, to be unretired for my son, who's now playing for the Miami Heat. You remember that story, Mike? Well, he had a change of heart, apparently, and Tim Hardaway Jr. will be wearing number 10. Apparently, he got a lot of social media backlash from that.
And also, Tim Hardaway Jr. threatened to put Tim Hardaway in a home.
No. I think it's cool. Now, I'm pretty strict on my greatness category stuff, Mike. I'm very strict on all that. You know that.
Wow, I mean, you won't even call me great.
That's what I'm saying. I'm very strict on this. But I think there are exceptions that can be made, and I think this is one of those. I think it's fine. Is Tim Hardaway Jr. near the player that Tim Hardaway Sr. was? No, not even close. He's a fine player in the league, but this is father-son connection, and I think it's a cool one. How about this one, Michael? The NCAA opens an inquiry into Cincinnati regarding Sorsby.
Ooh.
This is going to be good. The NCAA has sent a letter of inquiry to Cincinnati centered on former quarterback Brendan Sorsby. Now, there's just a debate as to what Cincinnati knew and when did they know. When did they know it? Did they know he was gambling? They were alerted that people... There were... What did I say? There was like five or six players they were alerted to that were attempting to get on gambling apps, and none of those were found guilty of that crime, if you call it a crime. However, they even said, spokespeople for Cincinnati even said, they were told by Sorsby that he tried, but he couldn't get on. Michael, is that not an offense?
Well, I'm offended by it.
I mean, if you say I was gonna do it, but it locked me out for some reason, that's not exactly not doing it. That's just being shut out of the app. But you were trying to get on the app. I don't know exactly what he was trying to do, but that's what we know.
I was going to murder my wife, but the knife drawer wouldn't open.
What are you talking? What? Where did that one go? Why that one? Why?
Because it was the darkest one I could think of.
Terrible!
Off the top of my head.
My gosh, man! Do you need to talk to someone?
I talk to you every day.
I know, but someone that could help you, because Lord knows I have not been able to do that.
I don't need
help. I haven't really tried, but because I could fix you if I really wanted to. But I kind of like the variables you throw once in a while. That's a weird comparison, though. My gosh.
I mean, they're both like, one's a crime, the other one is a rule breaking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the best parallel I could have come up with.
No, it's not, but, you know, still... You're doing it. You're making it. So that's interesting, Mike. A Cincinnati spokesperson declined to comment but did provide a general statement. Here it is. We have had continuous conversations with the NCAA since the initial reports related to impermissible sports wagering. As we have stated before, we do not believe any athletics official or staff member was aware of any impermissible sports wagering. Now, he was obviously betting around that time, and they were alerted that he attempted it. I think this, like, whatever this data, whatever this tool that schools use, because UNC uses one. Ed Lamb was telling me about this. They have something set up. It's some kind of, I don't know, you're nerdy. What would it be, like a router or something? Something that picks up signals if someone's trying to log in to gambling sites.
I'm betting that it's some app that they put on their phone. Like you
I'm
could
guessing.
Put some an app in the background that tracks certain websites.
Like you have
but
to put
I wonder,
it on there?
I wonder if, I mean, it could overpower a it could negate a VPN if you have one on your phone because that app itself is on the phone.
Hmm.
Which is what I'm assuming.
Yeah. What I want to make clear here, too, based on the betting history that has been obtained by the NCAA, there actually was no hard evidence that Sorsby funded, placed, or was otherwise involved in wagering on Cincinnati's football team during his 2 years as a starter for the Bearcats. So we do have that information. So if this history is correct, then it would seem Cincinnati would be in the clear if the history is correct. Now, if he placed more bets and during that time when he was with Cincinnati, obviously he's going to be into some trouble. He acknowledged placing at least 165 impermissible bets on college and professional sports, totaling at least $38,000 in 2024, including three wagers on Cincinnati men's basketball made on a FanDuel account he shared with a friend. Between December 23 and June 25th, Sorsby provided more than $60,000 to the friend to deposit in the shared account. But even though he made a bet on Cincinnati, he wasn't the quarterback at that time. He wasn't at Cincinnati. So if it's proven that he wasn't gambling while at Cincinnati, then Cincinnati's fine. Although I still think it's fishy that they were alerted to something and they were told that he couldn't get on it. Now, he could have basically said, no, I'm not able to even get on it. I'm locked out of it. So can you be guilty of something that you didn't do, even though you tried to do it? I don't know.
Yeah,
on this, I know attempted murder and all that stuff. I'm not going as extreme as you, but if the law says you can't gamble, if the rule says you can't gamble, all he did was try to get on the app, then technically?
Well, that would be attempted gambling.
Well, how do you know? How do you know he didn't just get on to see what the site was like? I mean, again, I know that's stupid, but
up for a jury to decide.
He could say, I just tried to open it to see what would happen. You know, I mean, there's ways out of that one.
Yeah, I think, today's day and age is so nuanced and so different from when I went to college. I only took one online class. I was like, wait, you can take classes online? I only knew. Now everybody takes online classes.
That's like the main.
Everything's online.
When I went back to UNC, more than half of my classes were online. And that was weird. That was a weird time in my life, Michael.
Yeah, and that wasn't even the pandemic.
No.
Everything was online if you decided you wanted to do something.
Yeah, it was a weird time. I went back to school. I went to UNC originally. And then my sister told me about Ames Community College and the radio program.
Which is way better.
And it's actually even better now. But when it's like, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's legit. Guys, gals, if you have kids that are looking to get into radio, think about Ames Community. And I love UNC too, but think about Ames at least for those 2 years.
Back when I had it, the radio department, the board didn't
like
work, and you had to like wiggle it to get it.
Ours
go
wasn't
to
even live. Like we were supposed to be live in the parking lot. You could hear it. The frequency was strong enough to get into the parking lot, but ours was not really active. We just recorded shows, and it was. But again, I maintain, man, like it's kind of like a trade school. You're practicing what you want to do, whether it's production or on air or whatever. You're learning a lot. So anyway, I went to Ames for that, got my internship at KFKA, among others, met you for the first time, and my life's never been the same.
Yeah, yeah. I helped you be so much better.
You were a person that was here when I got here.
I helped influence you to be who you are today.
And then my wife and I were sitting around. We were talking about the idea of having a kid and for some reason, we got on the conversation of would I ever go back to school, and we started tooling around on UNC's website to see how many credits I needed because we found my transcripts and stuff. I almost said manuscript, and I only needed like 30 credits. And so my wife was like, you should consider that before we have a kid. You're probably not going to be able to do it after this. So I decided at the age of 30 to go back to college.
I'm going to be honest with you. Like, to me, a diploma is a piece of paper. It's just a piece of paper.
But it's also the experience of saying you did it.
But if you're going to go to college for something, go to a college that's cheaper. Like, Ames is way cheaper.
I'm glad I did it. I'm glad. Again, I got the degree at Ames, and then I got a bachelor's degree from UNC. I'm glad that I went back and did it. It was odd. I was definitely the oldest guy in most of my classes, and I thought that was something until one of our, you know, the big classrooms. What do you call those? The big ones? Just the big ones? Biggins? And I'm walking in. I'm like, I am the oldest person here. I'm dressed like I'm going to work. And everybody here's in sweats and sandals.
Well, that's because you had a job. You were a professional at the time.
I looked down the front row, and there's this dude that had to be in his late 70s. Big old long beard, taking notes. And I was like, good for that dude. He's going back, too. It was crazy. I will say, for me, going back at 30, I retained and paid way more attention to everything at that age. And I probably would have done the same in my mid-20s. My first few years, man, it's like brand new experience. College is crazy, especially if you come from a small town. The idea of being able to go out to eat and hang out and go places and go to Denver, go up to Fort Collins, whatever.
There are three or four watering holes as opposed to one in Cheyenne Wells.
That's where you're wrong, buddy. The Cheyenne Wells takes their watering holes seriously. I think there's like three of them. Not a bunch of, not many grocery stores, but we got watering holes. I'll tell you that.
And one of them is like this guy's barn and the other is this guy's barn.
Pretty much, yeah.
This guy's ranch. And then you have the official ones that have to pay taxes.
Thank you. You've never been out there. You don't know. You don't know what my people are like.
No, but I'm making fun of it.
You wouldn't be allowed
to. Actually, I like small town people.
You would scare them. They would be fearful of you, I think.
Well, they'd never see me.
But that's not really a small. That's not really a small town thing, though. That's just a being a person thing. I think there's a lot of fear when you.
No one feared me when I was at Ames Community College and earned an Associate's of Applied Science in Communications Media, and I've been working here for 22 and a half years.
Can you believe you and I have worked together? How long now?
You were end of 2008, I think.
I was an intern here. And
I influenced your life positively.
We never teamed up to do this.
Well, we there were occasionally when we'd lose a producer, or there was a producer who wasn't as qualified or awesome.
Not as qualified as you, yeah.
So I'd train someone for a month, and then they'd do your show. Not as great as I do, but they'd do your show, and it would be.
Do you think you are the highest ranked producer of the whole show? Do you think you're the highest ranked of? If we're doing a Mount Rushmore of whole show producers, are you number one?
I'm all four presidents.
You're all four?
I am all four presidents, and I'm the crazy horse sculpture on private land.
Do you?
So I'm those five.
Do you remember all the producers? Can you remember them all? By name?
No.
I can. I can go through every one of them.
I've had so many interns, I wouldn't be able to recognize most of them.
Okay, so number one was Sherm, the Sherminator. Yeah, fun time. Number two was Jayhawk.
Yeah, the Squawk.
The Squawk, big guy. Good dude.
Very tall.
Very tall.
Liked Kansas.
Number three, who was number three? Colfax.
Colfax, yeah.
Colfax. Colfax and I, he still does stuff here and just doesn't produce, but he and I were, it was fun. Good time. Then after Colfax, it was...
Well, there was someone...
Jaden.
Jaden, yeah, Jade's. He was there for a summer.
Yeah, it was Jade's. And then...
Angel Padilla.
Angel. Angel, as I called him.
I like Angel Padilla.
And then Vay Money. And now you. Is it a me problem? Is that what it is? Is it not them, it's me?
I think it's not them, it's you.
Really?
You drive a lot of people off.
I'm difficult to work with.
I mean, very.
You say whatever the hell you want, and you still are here. So I don't think I'm that difficult to work with.
I mean, like, I do a lot of things here.
Yeah.
And I just kind of accumulated this and made it better.
You do things. Can we just say you do some things?
Do a lot of things here, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some things, unfortunately, are beyond my abilities. But I attempt them.
Coming up next, I want to get into this story. More top story stuff. But NIL Clearinghouse has rejected $90 million in deals. We'll talk about that coming up next. Also, more on the Denver Nuggets. And how about those Colorado Rockies? Why does a series loss feel kind of like, I know you don't like this, but a moral victory? The Rockies gave the Dodgers all they could handle. They really did. They took one game. The first game went to extras. Last night was a one-run game. It was close. They had their opportunities when they loaded the bases. This team's fun. Don't change a thing. We'll be right back.
Keep up with the latest in local news, sports, and weather on Good Morning NoCo, weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
First things first, I'ma say all the words inside my head.
Beverage of the week at On the Rocks Liquor is Leinenkugel's Orange Shandy. This orange twist on a summer favorite is a limited release. Crisp Weiss beer with natural orange flavor is a vibe all on its own. Get your 12-pack today at On the Rocks Liquor. Do me a favor, tell them where you heard about them right here on the whole show. Thanks to Michael Kirkpatrick, On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. Are you going to say something?
No.
Oh, you leaned in like you had something to say. Did you realize it was stupid and then you backed away?
No. My back's starting to hurt me again.
Oh, really? Still bugging you, huh?
Still bugging me. It's slowly getting better, but then, like, you know, if I sit too long, my back starts hurting.
I'm sorry.
I'm old.
Yeah. Well, how about this story, Mike? The ESPN's Mirion Medcalf reporting, the cost associated with collegiate sports continues to rise, along with the scrutiny on NIL agreements. The College Sports Commission's clearinghouse has rejected nearly $90 million in NIL deals since its inception a year ago, according to the group's NIL data report released on Wednesday. NIL Go is operated by Deloitte? As the assessment arm of all independent NIL deals over $600, has also approved $355 million in NIL agreements since it launched in basically a year ago, June 11th, 2025.
So you said over $600. Does that mean under $600, they don't give a rat's butt?
I think so. Now, is that $600 total? Or is it like if they're doing like $600 a month?
It sounds like I would say 600 total.
600 total. So anything over 600 total, they dig in.
Do they cover Division II as well? Because I feel like 600 would total would be a Division II player.
I think there's players in Division I that are doing 600 total. There's probably dudes out there that don't get any play and don't have really a big following, and but they got involved with some business.
So the University of Washington's backup kicker is making $600.
I'll bet that there's somewhere in the world there is a Division I college football player making just $600.
And good for that.
Or $599.
Division, would you say probably not a football player, maybe a swimmer?
Could be. I'm just saying the odds are pretty good that somebody is making just under $1,000.
So Tina Smith is on the swim team in, I don't know, Utah's advertising Bob's hats.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Now, my question is, of the $90 million that's been rejected, are those all potential lawsuits going to go against the NCAA and the CSC?
I mean, you'd really have to look into the rules.
I still think it's hard to... I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing to stop a lot of the NIL madness. I think it should be an organic thing. I think when you get to the school of choice, you want to go you know, knock on doors, or you have an agent to go do that for you, and you get a business that wants to sponsor you, I think that's awesome. That's what I've always pushed for. But it's not pure. It's been taken advantage of, and we've been using it as inducements and ways to get guys to school rather than you get it when you're here.
Yeah, it should be Jimmy's Pizza going to the school and saying, hey, who's going to be good? Who's going to be, like, good enough?
Who's
for
a player I
us
think
to afford?
That, yeah, I want to have a player represent our pizza place this year. Who is that? And the guy's already on the team. It shouldn't be, hey, if I can give you $1 million, will that help you guys land quarterback A? And that's the problem. While I agree that this is a good thing, I still don't know how it's happening. Because, again, who is the CSC to tell whoever's giving that money that it's not a legitimate NIL deal?
If they ever question us, we'll just say, hey, go to the podcast.
Well, ours is easy. They do stuff.
They come in, they do the show.
Trying,
that's proof.
They're trying to get away from, I'm a bazillionaire, I want my football team to be better, so hey, school, here's $5 million. Give it to Billy Bob. And then, oh, we'll figure something out. But they never really figure something out. They want you to work for the NIL money. You got to do something. You can't just sit there.
Yeah, when Troy Aikman says, I'm never giving the school NIL money for a player who just left right afterwards, like, that says something.
Mm-hmm.
Troy Aikman, an older quarterback, famous in the 90s for winning 3 Super Bowls.
And now
in 4
famous
years
for broadcasting.
Yeah, he might be an old school guy, but I feel like he's more open minded. And he's saying, eh.
Well,
pass.
His thing was he was frustrated because he gave, I don't know how much he gave, $1 million?
No, it was $2 million.
Was it $2 million for UCLA to get a quarterback? And the guy was there for 1 year and then gone. And Aikman also said, like, I never heard a thank you, like, nothing.
If I'm the school, if I'm the player, I'm like, thank you very much for this $2 million minus all the taxes I have to pay.
But if you're Troy Aikman, honestly, this is what they're trying to get away from. You can't just give us $2 million. You got to have the quarterback do something. So you're doing it on behalf of Troy Aikman? Great. Have him tweet about you. I don't know. You got to have him do something. And, should it be individuals just like a Troy Aikman? Because I'm guessing he didn't donate. Did he donate it on behalf of an LLC that he had? Or did he just donate it because he's Troy Aikman and it went directly to the player? That's kind of what they're trying to get away from. Name, image, and likeness. It's supposed to be your name, image, and likeness being put to work, being put to use. Not just, here's $2 million. No, now you got to use your name, image, and likeness to promote Troy Aikman, I think. Or does it have to be a business? Is that part of it?
I mean, if it was to be more pure, like I was a millionaire and I gave it to UNC, it should be like,
if you just gave
like
a million
to you. They should be doing something for the university,
right,
to help forward the university, maybe going out and working with the food bank and wearing their Bears jersey.
Now, if you just donated $2 million to UNC, that's a different story. You just donate it to them, they figure it out and do with it what they will.
That's how I would do it.
But if you contact the quarterback for UNC and say, hey, man, I'm really happy that you're here. Here's $2 million. That's what they're trying to get away from. Here in this story, the most common reasons for a deal not to clear are, number one, the deal is not for a valid business purpose, as that term is defined by the settlement and NCAA bylaws. So if Troy Aikman donated $2 million to the school, that's one thing. But if he directly donated $2 million to this quarterback, wouldn't that seem to be against the first rule here?
Yeah. You know, if anything, if I'm a millionaire, I'm giving to Fort Collins High School. Because, like, I would rather the students not have to pay.
You're going on a different road here.
Fees.
You're taking a different journey than I am right now.
I'm just saying, like,
we're not
like,
talking about what you would
frustrated.
Rather do.
I would rather have the youth.
We're talking about, no, you shouldn't be paying high school players.
No, I'm
no,
saying
you are part of
I
the
would
problem.
Make it so they don't have to pay fees to join a sport.
You are part of the problem.
Or pay fees to be a debater.
Okay, whatever. That's a side thing. Number two is the compensation is not at rates and terms with similarly situated student athletes. I don't really know what that means. I don't know what that one means. Number three, the deal does not include direction activation of the student athletes NIL. See, there we go. Number one, you got to be like a business. You got to actually have something for them to do. And number three, number two, I don't know what that means. Number three, the deal does not include direction. Michael, I've ran into so many business owners that say, yeah, we tried an NIL deal with so-and-so and, you know, we tried to get like a photo shoot and then it just didn't, we never got it scheduled and then it just kind of whatever. They are trying to get rid of that. You have to come in with a clear plan. You, the business or the school or the player. You know, for example, when we do the CSU golf tournament thing, you know, when we're out there live and we get a chance to meet all the basketball players, that is kind of an NIL thing. So one of the asks that I'm asked from CSU is that, hey, when this player is on, can he mention blah, 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 blah? That technically counts as an NIL deal. You got on a radio show and you promoted your NIL partner. That can be as easy as these things are to do. But they're trying to keep the traffic of just throwing money at guys for being there is going away. And I agree. I don't know how you fight it, though.
I mean, this stuff has been happening even with professional athletes and former professional athletes. Like, they'll come on a radio show and they're sponsored by Grubhub or something. And they'll do that whole interview and then they'll talk about Grubhub for a little bit.
Yeah, and that's what when you hear those. We got Brian Urlacher on the station once. Remember that?
Yeah, we got Danica Patrick on the station.
You keep taking me into different roads. But Brian Urlacher was promoting pork rinds.
Pork rinds are so good.
And that, so I got to get him on, and obviously we talk football and his days playing for the Bears. Faith would have loved that interview. And then at the end, it's like, oh, by the way, pork rinds, am I right? And then, oh, yeah, I love pork rinds. They're so good. And that
I mean,
was,
he said more than that. I remember.
Yeah, he did. He was awesome. He was great.
That's usually how it goes.
Yeah, that's how it goes. A lot of times that's why, you know, like during Super Bowl, Radio Row, when those guys are getting dudes on left and right, it's because they agree to promote whatever it is that those dudes want to promote.
And there are companies out there who help sell this and get the player on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's they have their own little representatives from like some business in New York who does this stuff.
Right. So fascinating story there. 35 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break, Michael. When we come back, let's look at this Colorado Rockies team. Lost the series to the Dodgers, but I'm not going to hang my head, man. That was a hell of an effort by this team. And I hope they can follow that up because that was an emotional series. I mean, they lost game one in extras 8-7 and then won game two 4-3 and lost last night 4-3. And they might have a guy. They might have a pitcher. I mean, based on one outing. But this Gabriel Hughes, he gave up three runs in the first inning. And then everything slowed down for him. And he's striking out Shohei Ohtani left and right. The confidence you could see instantly building up. So excited to see more from this guy based on the one performance. Let's talk Rockies. 36 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Spencer Smith with DNVR Rockies, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's getting to that point here in July. It's toasty out there. And last thing you want is after being outside doing whatever it is you do with your time, is you don't want to go inside and it just still is uncomfortable. Maybe you got something wrong with your air conditioning. Levin's Heating and Cooling, I keep seeing their vehicles everywhere. And that just means that more and more people are hearing the good news that Levin's Heating and Cooling is the best to go to.
They're hearing it right here on 103.1 and
1310 KFK. Conditioning fixed and updated, anything you need. Free estimates are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. I'm a customer of theirs and they were perfect. Couldn't recommend them enough. Lemons Heating and Cooling. Visit them online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com or give them a call at 970-567-0798. The Rockies lost to the Dodgers last night, but how about this? Gabriel Hughes, man. He pitched six innings, gave up three runs, all in the first inning, and then everything calmed down. Seven strikeouts last night. So, you know, pitching's been still the issue for this team. Now, we're all excited about, you know, a lot of these hitters, a lot of these young hitters, but we always come back to pitching's just not great. And, you know, seeing young guys like that maybe is a little encouraging going forward. There's something different about this team, Mike. I actually felt like the Rockies could win this series while watching the game, while watching each game. Felt like, yeah, there's a chance. I didn't have this gloomy feeling of, okay, it's 3-3, we're going into the eighth inning, and now the bottom's about to fall out, and the Dodgers are just going to start scoring left and right. You're not getting that sense anymore. You also see the differences, like the Dodgers, that at-bat for Mookie Betts kind of just shows you what it's like having guys that can just win games and do what's necessary for you. I mean, Mookie gave him the lead, of course, but it was just the at-bat. It was a masterful at-bat. You know, kept pitches alive, fouling them off, staying in. And you see that with a veteran team that even not on their best night, they find a way to do it. And that's still kind of a learning process for the Rockies, but they've got some guys, man. They really do. I mean, Kyle Karros has been on a tear recently. He had a home in that. Was that first inning or second inning? Karros had a home run. Julianne had a home run. And it's fun to watch. They're fun to watch. This is an exciting baseball team. 38-56. When your expectations are so low, obviously playoffs, wild card, none of that stuff is in the realm of possibility. When your expectations are low, you just want to have a team that makes games fun. It's not 7-2 every night. You have a puncher's chance against the best team in baseball, and they did for three games in a row.
I mean, that's why everybody liked the Blake Street Bombers. Yeah, they didn't win a World Series. They didn't go to the playoffs that often, but boy, were they fun to
watch. You're right. The Rockies have been to the playoffs five times in their existence.
That's pretty Cleveland Browns-ish.
Yeah, but the Blake Street Bombers are a group, or a sports, Colorado sports group. You know, you think of certain players, like the Orange Crush defense and No Fly Zone. The Blake Street Bombers, that was part of it, man. And they were just fun to watch. Didn't win a ton of games every year, but they were fun to watch. They had some great players. You might have a mini version of that. With guys like Jake McCarthy and Mickey Moniak and Hunter Goodman and Cole Kerrig and TJ Rumfield. Some fun players. And I'm still watching. Yeah, we got done with the Dirty 30 only 8 wins ago. But, you know, I'm still interested. The Dirty 30 kept us interested because it was fun for us growing the stupid beards. And then the Rockies have carried it the rest of the way. Still bad. They're still bad, but it's a different kind of bad. And that's the start. That's where you start with this team. Nobody was expecting an overnight turnaround. Nobody was, and rightfully so. But also, a lot of people were not expecting 38 wins by July 9th.
My original prediction was the 31st.
That we wouldn't have 30 wins?
You'd have more than 30 wins, but like it would be July 31st when they would get that 30th. And actually, I think I predicted them to have a total of, I don't even remember what it is, 54 wins.
Yeah, you were in the 50s. I would imagine they're going to soar past that. I mean, they're almost to 40.
Yeah, I think you'll probably win this one.
You've got, what, is it one series? Yeah, you got a four-game series that starts tonight against San Francisco before the All-Star break. So we're almost at the halfway point for the Rockies. And I think you're seeing, just go look at their schedule. Look at the win-losses, the way they've, you know, you're not seeing these monster stretches of losses like you saw last year. It's a very competitive team, very fun. I know they could get a lot for Hunter Goodman, but I'm not, pass. I want to keep these guys. I think he's untouchable. I think there are several guys. I mean, Spencer Smith of DNVR Rockies was on with us. He gave us his four. I think it was Jake McCarthy, Hunter Goodman, Cole Kerrig, and Kyle Karros. Those were the guys that he said were untouchable. Now, he didn't mention Rumfield. Did he mention Rumfield? Maybe he did. But he would be one, too. Young player, still a lot to go. So I don't know if he would command a lot at this stage. I think if you're making deals with the Rockies, you want to see it last for more than 1 year. Because that's what the Rockies have done with the Doyles and Tovars. They're good for a year. And then I kind of thought Hunter Goodman was going in that direction. But he's battled back, and he's kind of red hot right now. 12:48 the time. We'll take a short break here. Coming up, we got the clip of the day. Where will LeBron James go now that he's not going to be a member of the Denver Nuggets? Keep it here on The Whole Show. Powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The summer months can be busy.
I'm busy!
Keep up with the latest in local news, sports, and weather on Good Morning NoCo, weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire for Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Tomorrow's the big day. The KFKA crew taking on the listeners at Back 9 Timnath. Brian and I will be setting up the whole show, a special edition of the whole show. Man, we've been busy. Last Friday was a hot dog eating contest, and now this Friday we're going to be rolling with some golf action. You guys got to check out Back 9 Timnath, by the way. I'm really excited. Who do you think? You think the guys are going to win, the fellas? The KFKA fellas?
I don't know how good they are at golf.
Well, just based on your feel. Wait, picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that.
Well, who's participating?
I already told you.
I don't remember.
Can you guess?
By the way, I got to say something to Brian. You are not the co-host tomorrow. I am the co-host. You are the co-host.
No, Brian is actually more of a co-host. Yes. Brian is.
On the morning show.
Yeah, but on the whole show tomorrow.
On the whole show tomorrow,
it's not going to be a host. It's play-by-play and color analyst. That it's not, like the whole show just becomes a sports broadcast tomorrow. And I think I'm doing play-by-play. I don't know. Very, very nervous about it, Michael.
So who do I think is going to win?
Yeah. Derbs is in it. Tanner's in it. Brian's in it. And Mike Dancing with Himself is in it.
Brian's in it.
Not Brian. Did I say Brian?
You did.
I meant Bruce. BR. You can see how I got confused. Bruce is steady. Derbs can launch. Tanner can provide some solid stuff, some solid hits of the bat.
But what are the rules?
Hit the golf ball into the hole. That's the goal. Like, that's golf. You know the rules of golf? Those are the rules. They apply tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. 12:55 the time. Clip of the day coming up next. Keep it here on The Whole Show. We'll be right back.
The
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.